They took my bags out of my hands, and then all of a sudden, the entire border customs office became hazy and more clouds came in, and eventually I could not see anyone. Now all of a sudden, a voice comes and I turn back. It was the first time I saw the Holy Spirit face to face.
Welcome to Along the Way. I'm John Matarazzo, your host and fellow traveler. Thank you for joining me along my way as I try to become more like Jesus every day. I love when I have the opportunity to talk with fascinating people and learn how God has met them along their way. Everyone has a story, and I believe that we can all learn from each other's journey. In this episode of Along the Way, my journey connects me with a pastor who was healed from autism as a child. Dr. Reg Marias pastors Living Faith Community Church near Perth, Australia. If you want to find out how Dr. Reg learned how to operate in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, then you'll want to hear what he has to say in my conversation with him. Before we get to the interview, I always enjoy getting feedback about how my Along the Way journey is helping you. If you would like to connect with me, you can find Along the Way on Facebook and Instagram. You can always email me at johnalongtheway@gmail.com. And my social links and web address are in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. And now, here's my Along the Way conversation with Dr. Reg Marias. Dr. Reg, it's a pleasure to be with you. You're in Australia right now, and I'm in my home studio, actually my bedroom. could you just tell me exactly where you are and what you've been doing just recently? Because it's pretty cool.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you, John, for having me on your podcast. And I just I appreciate and that you've given me some time for me to speak to your audience and to your group of people. I am based in a place called Perth, and it's in a great state called Western Australia, and I am coming directly from Australia. After 2 or 3 days of intense CS conference that we had, we broke all the records in Perth for all the people who came and joined. And so you are right earlier on in our talk with each other that I'm at the tail end of the conference. Tired, but I'm in a very happy tired, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Could you just said that it's the Seers conference. Before we go any further.
Yes, sir.
Some people don't know what a seer is. What is, what does that mean? That's kind of a strange term. It might be foreign to some people.
Okay. To all the audience, I would, and the way that God has spoken to me and the way God has taught me is in the Old Testament, there are two kinds of prophets. One kind of a prophet you will hear. They're able to hear God by audibly. In other words, there's an audio revelation that God speaks to them. And then another kind of prophets, they have an audio, but then they also have a revelatory whereby their eyes are open and they can see things ahead of 10 days ahead or 30 days ahead or 40 days ahead of what God is going to do in their personal life. For instance, John, I just want to let you know, we just had a general election, or what we had is the federal election, just about 2 weeks ago. The current sitting Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, who was elected last year, 24th of August, and he had only 8 months to prepare himself before he was about to be re-elected. 56 opinion polls said that he will never win this election. 56 opinion polls said the Labour Party will have a brand new Prime Minister called Bill Shorten. But God said to me from August till now, he said to me, do not listen to everything. You will tell in front of all my people, I've decided to bring Prime Minister. So I'm the only lonely voice in the wilderness. God has been saying to me, I will bring in. But I said to God, I don't want to have tomatoes, potatoes, and eggs on my face if you're saying what you're saying. But I saw in the realm of the spirit that Scott Morrison was going to come through. And eventually, lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, now they call it the miracle election, that Scott Morrison not only got re-elected, but he's got a majority government to run the country. The first evangelical, Pentecost, Bible-believing, tongue-speaking Christian we have got in this country. And that was something came out of being a seer more than anything else.
Yeah. So, since you already touched on this topic, I want to go back a little bit, because when I first met you,
yes, sir,
you told me the story about how Scott Morrison became, God showed you something about Scott Morrison well before he ever became the prime minister.
2017, Jesus appeared to me on the 31st of December, and he said to me, I wanted to tell your people on the 6th of January, as you, it is the custom that I've asked you to reveal and release prophetic words over the nations, over your country, over your state. He said to me, in heaven with the Senate of all my saints, I've decided to turf out or decide to remove the current sitting prime minister, none other than Malcolm Turnbull. And I remember challenging and arguing with God. And I said, God, that man is extremely, extremely popular among Aussies. I don't think so will happen. He said, it's not your job to think, and it's not your job for you to have an opinion about what I think, but rather it's my job for me to, now when I will elevate kings and I will depose kings, and that's how I do what I do. You will tell your people that I'm going to do this. And I remember coming out in the front, and he was a then treasurer. He was not a prime minister, just a treasurer to the country, to the prime minister. Somewhere along the line, early August, there was a leadership spill called out, and the leadership spill called out. Even then, at that moment, no one thought that Scott Morrison would become the PM. Some others actually said Julie Bishop is going to become the prime minister. But I kept on saying over the Facebook and obviously to a number of churches and across the country that Scott Morrison will become the prime minister. Eventually, on the 24th of August, there were three people were contesting for this the PM's job. Eventually, God himself brought Scott Morrison, and that's how he became a prime minister. Now he has got a moral authority. 56 opinion polls told him that he would never make it a prime minister. With all the schmozzle which went through last year, in spite of the schmozzle, the Australian people thought he will be a better prime minister for the country than the new prime minister was about, than the Labour Party prime minister. And today we are very privileged to have him. So people are saying right now at this moment he's almost the Trump of Australia. So people said Trump will never make it in 2016. I think you would know, remember, John, that your polls also said the same thing about Hillary Clinton was going to become the next president. And and God just came through for that.
Everyone was surprised. Yeah, you just used a term that I haven't heard before. Schmozzle?
Yes, schmozzle. Yes.
Could you explain that? I'm kind of confused. Is that a local term or is it a legal term? I don't know.
It is a local term. Schmozzle means the whole place was chaotic. The whole place was confused. It was in a state of disrepair, and it was a state of not being able to really bring something good out of it. And when, because I am sorry to tell you this, John, but over the last number of years, within 7 years or 8 years, I think there's a revolving door in this country. Mm. Within 7 years, we had about 4 or 5 prime ministers. So the door just revolves. Oh, and wow. I think, it's not good. And there is a joke which is going on. And I pray that your audience, if there are Italians, I don't pray that you would not... that you would not take any offense, but they are saying that Australia has become the Italy of the Pacific, because as you realize, after post-World War with Italy, Italy had pretty much one prime minister for every particular year, if I'm right. And so the joke over here is basically we have become the Italy of the Pacific, and over the last 7 years, we had about 4 or 5 prime ministers, like a revolving door, and so we have become a laughing stock in this part of the world.
Well, I'm Italian, and I'm not really offended by that. So don't worry, brother. I still love you. I don't know what I'm offended about, but
thank you.
I've been to Italy. It's a beautiful place, and I'm sure Australia is the same. So, Dr. Reg, you have a bit of an accent, and so my listeners don't have the privilege of seeing you, but you haven't always lived in Australia. Could you just tell me about some of your upbringing and some of the things that God brought you through in your childhood?
First of all, I'm a first-class pedigree mongrel. In other words, I have got half Indian and half Portuguese ancestry. I was born, raised, educated in Singapore, second-generation Singaporean. But God called me at the age of 20 to leave Singapore, and I'm 51 years of age currently. I've lived in this great country for the last 30 years. And so I've got this Singaporean, Portuguese, and then Australian combined pedigree accent right now at this moment I've got. I was never normal. I was born as an autistic kid for the first 13 years of life, plus Asperger's, plus obsessive compulsive disorder behavior, at OCD, all of these three above.
Wow.
My life was not the same. I tried to commit suicide at the age of 7, 8, 9. My mom used to give me a tumbler of cordial drink, and I used to put rat poison into it, and I've drank the rat poison with the cordial drink. I tried to kill myself. I couldn't die.
So your mom gave you juice and you added rat poison to it?
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And then on top of it, I have tried to stand in front of taxis, buses, lorries, trucks, every other moving vehicle, so that there is someone can actually drive over me and they can just run over me so I can die as soon as possible. So that would have been possibly at about 9, 10, 11 years of age. But somewhere along the line, I think, just to cut the story short, I think the entire Marias clan were in a real, real difficult spot of bother. And I think at that point in time, a young South Korean evangelist came. His name was none other than Yonggi Cho. Now, I believe he's got 1.1 million people in his church in Seoul, South Korea.
That's the pastor from the Prayer Mountain. And
that's it.
David Yonggi Cho. Okay.
David Yonggi Cho. So he decided to put a massive crusade for 7 days in Singapore. So mom and dad dragged us for this huge crusade, which was run in the biggest stadium. I think about 80 to 90,000 people were packed in, and he ran 7 days. Mom and dad gave their hearts to Jesus on the very first day. I think my brother gave his heart to Jesus on the second day. I gave my heart to Jesus on the seventh day. And I told God, if he were to heal me from my autism within a year, I will surrender my heart and I will serve you for the rest of my life. And it was a prayer that I made, but yet I did not know what I was making a prayer, because I was rather confused, not in a state of right framework of my own mind. Lo and behold, sometime 1983, 7th of June, 1 year down the track, I was in a geography class, and all of a sudden I felt in the presence of God that there was a dark cloud passing over my head. And then I stood up in front of the classroom, 42 kids in front of the teacher. I just said, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. I got suspended because apparently I disrupted the entire class.
So you were saying that you were okay, but they were saying you're not okay.
No, according to my geography teacher, I have really, really, I disrupted the class, and I think I removed every focus and attention of every other child, and she was rather annoyed and upset with me.
Sure, but you knew something happened to you that day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The next thing I just realized that I said to myself, something has happened. I feel there's no more fear. One of the things I found that when I had autism, OCD, and Asperger's, one of the greatest thing I found is fear ran through 13, 14 years of my life, John. And it's not a pretty thing, because every single day, your only thought in every single day while you're walking on this earth, you want to die, and you want to die quickly, and you want to leave this miserable earth because you get bullied, because you're not scoring well in your subjects, and you're not doing well, you're not intelligent, you're not smart, you're not clever enough, and all the above. And I think coming from Singapore, it's all about education, it's all about paper, it's all about qualifications. And if you cannot mold yourself into that society, then you pretty much have become a loser. And if you become a loser, then it's no point of you living anymore on this earth. You rather must well die. And so on the basis of it, on the 7th of June, 1983, when God touched me and when God started to heal me, I knew that there was no longer fear in me. Went back home. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. My mom and dad were concerned, because they thought I've lost my marbles. I've become hysterically crazy. I just laughed. But the following day, there was another period. It was another period of geography class. I decided in my own heart, not that God spoke to me, in my own heart, I will make the biggest noise in this class, and I will give such a hard time to my teacher, and I will make sure I'll get suspended from the classroom to test the healing that Jesus has given me, and to test everything what God has done. Lo and behold, I did the most, the disastrous things I could do. I got suspended. My teacher says the rage that I knew 3 days ago was far better rage than the rage that I know of. I am really, really scared and fearful of this new rage. And so for me, when I stood outside of the classroom, I was not sad. I was not upset. I've tested the healing and I'm no longer being haunted, but now I've become the hunter. And then from that day onwards, I decided to preach the gospel in my high school. And I decided to win a lot of kids in my own classroom, outside of my classroom, openly spoke about the scripture in the soccer field, basketball arena, and men, young kids were giving their hearts to Jesus, dragging them to the church. Started to form a fellowship called CF. We call it Club Fellowship. We started to have a fellowship, and guys like me started to praise and thank God during recess period. And we used to bring 2, 3, 4, 5 kids inside there. And in the club fellowship, we will get them to give their hearts to Jesus. That's how my life started to change.
Wow. So I'm just curious, why did you choose to test your healing in the way that you did? Rather than being disruptive, you could have done a lot of other things. What made you want to do it that way?
Okay. First of all, John, you do realize way back when I was born in 1968, by the time in the early 70s, we are talking about Singapore. We are talking about, Singapore was just coming from a fishing village to a metropolitan city like what we've got right now. Singapore was not the Singapore like what you and I see today. Back in those days, we were classified as a third world. We weren't even a first world. I remembered my dad dragging me, my mom, dad, and my brother dragging me to the doctors. And even when they did certain things, my doctors never gave, they didn't give a term, but they gave a term to my dad. They said, if your son continues to go the way he's going right now, by the age of 17, 18, he will end up in a mental asylum. And so my point is, it was very hard back in those days for me to go and see a doctor, because the doctors back in those years did not want to brand a child like I am who have got an autism. Like today, you would agree with me, John, that, I think doctors are so quick enough, fast enough, and they brand a child, you've got ADHD, or you've got autism, or you've got a bipolar. In my day and age, the doctors were more cautious, in particular in Singapore, they were more cautious. They didn't want to throw the name at you. They didn't want to brand you at all. But they said to my parents, they definitely recognize OCD. They definitely recognize autism. But they weren't forthright about it. And so I knew in 1983 that in my heart, if I were to go and see a doctor, and they would not say anything either. And so the best way, even before I go and see a doctor, the best way for me to do is to test my own healing that God has given to me. And to see whether I have fear, to see whether I have OCD, whether I have Asperger's. Okay. And that's how I tested what I had to test.
So before that healing, you were kind of a recluse? Like you were...
Yes, sir.
You wouldn't talk with anybody? You were just kind of in the room, but trapped within your own mind. Is that correct? So this would have been a complete departure from what you had been.
Yes, sir. The best way for me to really, really give you an example, John, it would be if you've got a boat and you're traveling in the boat over the ocean, over the river, and as the boat is traveling, if you decide to jump into the water, you could hear the boat's outboard motor buzzing through, even though you can't see, but inside the water, you can hear the buzzing noise going on.
Okay.
So it's as though that you hear the entire time for 13, 14 years of my life, both of my canals of my ear or my eardrums had this buzzing noise of like an outboard motor all through 24 hours, just keeps on going. So everything that you say, everything you speak, I do hear it, but I hear it with a real, real difficulty because it's a buzzing noise. And because of the buzzing noise, I became very reclusive. Always isolated. I'm with my friends, but whatever they say, it never enters into my mind, and I don't know how to process it because of the buzzing noise I had.
Wow. So that's a major challenge, but thank God that Jesus healed you.
Yep. Yeah, and I think what happened, John, was basically when the dark cloud left me in 1983, 7th of June, that buzzing noise in my eardrums stopped. It just totally stopped. For the first time, I could hear in a so clear, so precise. I could hear the leaves. I could hear, you know, the cars. I could hear everything, and I realized I'm not the same Rich I used to be.
Wow. That's amazing, Dr. Reg, that God has changed you and he's healed you. And he didn't just heal you to heal you. He has a purpose and a call on your life. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But yep. I like hearing about the times when God speaks to us and the first time that you recognize that God was speaking to you in a personal way. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Do you remember the first thing that God spoke to you?
I think there's a lot of times God actually spoke to me in relation to the moment, I would say, when God healed me. He said to me, I want to take you back to the 7th of June, 1982, when you gave your heart to Jesus. And he made sure, he said to me, I've healed you and I do not want you to deviate your ways and I do not want you to detour your ways. I want you to observe the words that you actually gave me. And I said, what would that be, God? And he said to me, I want you to come into full-time ministry for me. And you've got a powerful testimony, and I just want you to come, and I want you to serve me. I remembered saying to God, I said, God, yes, I gave my word to you. Yes, I'm going to serve you. But still, there are still issues I'm grappling with. I don't know whether I could speak in front of hundreds of people. I do not know whether my language and the way that I put words into it and all the above. I'm not trying to make excuses, John, but I was trying to tell God that, and I'm telling my God that there are foibles of me, there are some things needs to be done. God kept on saying to me the early days when he started speaking to me, that's not your issue. Your issue is you come and serve me. I will repair, I will mend your backyard. I will take care of your speech impediment, and I will do all the above. All you need to do is come and serve me. So I think from the age of 14 right up to the age of 20, one thing that God kept on resonating me in my heart whenever he wanted to speak, it was always the call of God, the call of God, the call of God. He kept on telling me, you have to own up, you have to own the end of your bargain, because you said to me, you want to serve me and I want you to come into ministry. And I think that was one and only persistent voice of God I kept on hearing over the years.
So you kind of knew your purpose was to be in ministry. Mm. What was the first practical step that you took to start down that path?
Okay, John, that's a good question. I think being healed from autism and Asperger's and OCD is one thing. I think by the kingdom of God, it's fantastic. Obviously, by Jesus, it would be fantastic. However, John, you know that if you do come from a background like that, sometimes your own leaders do not feel in their heart they are good, that you are good enough to do what you want to do. And so there was some negative aspect of my personal life, and I think I want to let your audience know, especially when you are coming out of this sort of disease or illness, if you allow me to use that word. And I remembered, you know, coming out of it and getting healed, you know, went to a great church and fantastic. But every single moment of my life, you know, living and staying in the church, breathing of what God is doing, great pastors, great leaders, great friends, great group of people, they kept on putting me aside. In other words, they did not want to recognize me. They didn't want to open up an opportunity for me to serve. They didn't want me to do anything. Simply, which I did say to you earlier, to you, John, that because of my speech, because of the way I speak, because of the way I did, and plus they know my background, my history, where God has healed. And so I then said to God, I said to God, you told me to serve. I'm trying to serve, but the Church of Jesus Christ is rejecting me. And God one day said to me, well, it seems like they don't want you to worship late. They don't want you to run Bible study groups, all the above. I said, yes, my Lord. And it's hurting me. God says to me, you see, there's a wedding taking place pretty much every weekend. And I said, yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling to get people to roll the red carpets. And I knew of this particular instance. Mm-hmm. So God said to me, why not you roll the red carpets for every single wedding? Why not you put daisies and flowers, pasting daisies and flowers, daisy flowers and roses flowers and all those on, you know, on chair after chair, vacuum the entire church, mop the entire church. That is serving for me. I went to the pastor and I said, hey, pastor, I just want to let you know I'm available for this. You should see his face. He started to smile and he started to really be happy. He said, you'll be committed about it. Yes, I'm very, very committed about it. And I will be there. And I will be there 2 hours, 3 hours before the wedding. And I was there all the time. And so every marriage, every wedding used to take place. And I became a wedding planner in terms of arranging the chairs, mopping, vacuuming, rolling the red carpets, all the above. And the couple will come and sit down. This is what we want. This is what we want. And I did that, you know, I did that faithfully for a good 3-4 years. And that became my ministry. And that became, that's where the grassroots ministry started. And I just served God in that way. And eventually then God decided to tell me, now your time is up for you to leave Singapore. And then I want you to come to Australia and I want you to, and I get yourself down and study the word of God for 4 years to get a bachelor's in ministry degree. And that's how I ended up in the ministry.
So you went from there to Australia and you've got to take a plane to get there. I remember you telling me that there was something that happened in an airport. Was that this time that happened?
No, that happened 10 years later. Do you want me to tell me? Do you want me to share that 10 years later story, John?
Do you think it would derail us a little bit about talking about your life? Okay, let's talk about that because that is a fascinating encounter that I think I would be very sad if I missed bringing.
So, John, after, serving that beautiful church in Singapore, and God said to me, get an airline ticket, got a ticket, and went into Australia, studied in a Bible college for 4 years, and obtained my bachelor's in ministry degree, came out, and I thought I can take the world, and I thought I was invincible, bulletproof. I thought I could take the whole world for God. However, I realized reality hits me hard. No church was opening up and no ministry was opening up. I think I went to different pastors. They said to me, do you have a baby? I said, no, I don't have a baby. Have you changed diapers for a baby? I said, no, I haven't changed diapers. So they said, have a baby first, change the first baby's diaper, come back and see us. Maybe we can open some doors for you. So I had a lot of rejections coming out of that through. And then eventually God said to me, listen, I don't want you to serve in Australia. But I said, God said to me, I have called you for Australia, but the time is possibly not now. I told God, I want to get back to Singapore because, Singapore was offering me a real lucrative contract to serve in a church over there with all the, with all the fringe benefits I could get. But God said to me, no, I do not want you to leave Australia. Singapore is no longer your home, but Australia will become your home. So I said, oh, okay, that's fine. And so lo and behold, to cut the story short, God said to me, I wanted to become an itinerant traveling evangelist. I then started to serve God for 10 years. But out of the 10 years of serving God, I didn't see demons coming out. I did not see, I didn't see people getting healed. People encouraged me. People praised me. The way that I spoke the word and all the above. But I became very discouraged, John. I became very discouraged. Became very upset with myself. I was not upset with God because I could not see anything happening. I just want to let your audience know I'm one of those guys. I don't believe in a contemporary gospel. I believe in the gospel of supernatural. The reason is because if you were to go through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even the book of Acts, you will see there are supernatural things always happens. And that includes my own life with the healing that God has done for me. I should not have been healed. I should have been dead and gone. I should not even have an interview with you today, this morning, over here. But eventually, I met my parents. I did some ministry in the United, somewhere in Asia, and then I saw my parents, and I told my mom and dad, said, I'm going to call it a quits. Not that God said to me that you can quit from a ministry. I've decided. The carnal Rich Marais decided that I'm going to call it a quits from the ministry. and I'm not going to be involved in ministry, and I'm going to go into a business world where I can make and earn more money. And the simple reason I told my dad in particular, I said, I don't see demons leaving, Dad. I don't see healings taking place. And I'm very discouraged because I don't see the same Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not there. I said, I will always fellowship with God. I'll always thank God for the healing is done. I'll do all the things. I will go back into a church. I'll just become a lay preacher, and I'll just do what God has called. So this was Changi International Airport, and I left, took a Singapore Airlines a flight, got down into Perth International Airport. They took my bags out of my hands, and then all of a sudden, the entire border customs office became hazy, white cloud, hazy, and more clouds came in, and eventually I could not see anyone. So I'm in the midst of this thick mist. And in the midst of the midst, I could, this heavenly cloud has come and I could not see anyone. Now all of a sudden, a voice comes. The first thing it says, hey, Rich, we are here. And I could not see anyone. I turned back. It was the first time I saw the Holy Spirit face to face. Rich, we, and then he keeps on saying, he's not saying, I heard your conversation or I heard this or I heard that. He didn't say that. All he said, we heard your conversation. We heard what you said to your mom and dad. We heard you, everything. And I realized there must be another person. So finally, the Holy Spirit says, there is another person who's waiting to see you. So he held my hands. We walked in the midst of the cloud. For the first time, I saw Jesus face to face. So one has to be honest, John. I did not know whether to cry, laugh hysterically, or I've gone mad, or have I entered into heaven? It was a combination of all those emotions, including my body is perspiring, my hands is perspiring, all the above, because now you are, for the first time, you are seeing the divine. For all these years, I was taught in a Bible college. For all these years, God healed me. For all these years, I could not see him. For the first time, I saw him face to face. But I just want to let you, our audience, know, people think when you see Jesus face to face, it's easy, but it's not the case. So your eyes get blinded as though it's like a billion voltage of fluorescent lamp or fluorescent light hits you, and you could only see his face, or rather on top of his face, but you can hear his voice and start to say, he says, Rich, I've heard you saying everything to your parents. He finally said to me, what will it take from my side to change your mind, to change your perspective, that you will work for me for the rest of your life in my kingdom? I cried. I broke down and I cried. And I said to God, I said, all I want is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm asking. And I want you to come and teach me how to see in the realm of supernatural. I want to see demons leaving. I want to see healings taking place, all of the above. And I just went on. It was a 15-minute powerful conversation he had. And at the end of it, just to cut the story short, John, he had a scroll, the Holy Spirit had a scroll. There were points after points after points that I've really nutted out. And at the end of the point, there were 2 dotted lines. One was Rich Marias, the other one was Jesus. He said, I will honor all of the above. I will sign over here, and you'll sign over this side. He signed on this side, and I signed on my right-hand side on the dotted line. He said, you'll go back, and I'll appear to you for the next 15 months, and I'll teach you all the giftings. According to his word, all the above came to pass, and I'm today sitting with you and speaking to you about those experiences.
So what are some of the things that Jesus taught you?
One of the first things he said to me, John, was, once you leave over here, I will appear to you at every service for the next 15 months. But prior to that, John, once I met Jesus and Holy Spirit at the Perth International Airport, and then I finally got my bags and back home, I cried for 3 days, just profusely cried. Just, I was driving in the car, I was crying. I was in the kitchen, I was crying. I was in the bathroom, I was crying. It's just the overwhelming of the presence of Jesus just made me to cry. That lasted 3 days. Lo and behold, on the very first week after his visitation, I went to a church, decided to preach. I started to preach the word. And as soon as I started to preach the word, somewhere about 30, 35 minutes later, I see Jesus walking right at the back of the congregation. He tells me, close your Bible. I wanted to close a word of prayer. And I'm going to stand with different people in this congregation. My right hand will come on their right hand side of shoulders. And as it comes, I will also show you a screen. With relation to the screen used to pop on the right hand side of shoulder per each person when I pray. And then you will give me the entire screen of the person's past, present, future. So you know the entire story, they, where they have been, what they have been, who was their first girlfriend, who was their first boyfriend, which cafes they went in, where and why did the boss fire, why did the employer fired him or fired her, why is his back is not good, why is his heart is not good. Every single detail from detail, screen to screen, he'll show to me. And he did this for 15 months. And at the end of the 15 months, he finally said to me, you've got the entire 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to depart from you. I will see you from time to time, which he has kept his word. I will send you now the Holy Spirit. No longer I shall be my job, my contract. I've honored my job. I've honored my contract. In the scroll I signed with you, I will now send the Holy Spirit with you. And then ever since from that day onwards, maybe every 2-3 years, Jesus will come and will start this. Like I said to you earlier on, John, I think 31st of December 2017, Jesus appeared to me for Scott Morrison when he said, I'm going to change the Prime Minister. And so every so often he does appear, but not on a regular basis. So ever since that day onwards, it's me and the Holy Spirit with me, directing, leading, guiding us all the way through to the ministry, what God has given to us.
Wow. Now, I just want to say that, you know, whenever you were with us in studio a couple months ago, you spent a good bit of time after we were done recording the interview. We did several interviews with you, but you spent a good bit of time praying for just about everybody that you came encounter with. And you shared, you know, up to that 25% that God was allowing you to share of what he was showing you. And I know some of those people decently well. I know most of the people that you were praying for and sharing with. And brother, it was amazing to know that God does use you that way. For people that don't understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I am a witness to see that the things that Dr. Reg was saying about people's life, what God wanted to share with them through Dr. Reg, it was very accurate. And it was very cool to be around that. So I want to thank you for that, number one. But I want to learn from you. Okay, that's one of the things with this podcast is I want to learn from your journey, because I'm on a journey myself with the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, Paul said, you know, to Timothy, to find faithful men that, you know, to teach the things that I taught to you, to faithful men, so that they can teach others. So what I want to learn from you about some of the detours in life, and more specifically, how I can avoid some of the detours that you have encountered.
Right. Do you mean, John, when you say detours, you mean
things
when
that
you
have
get sidetracked?
Yeah, things that have tried to sidetrack you, distract you from God's purpose in life. How do you stay focused, and how do you stay walking in the path towards where God has you going?
John, I have to be honest with you, John. I'm not as innocent as you think I might be. I just got to be very upfront, honest with you and your audience. I also want to just make it, you know, plain reality. And I think when the rubber hits the road, that's where the reality hits you hard. And I would say categorically to you that I have done some detours, and some detours it has cost me dearly in my own personal life with the journey of God, with the journey with God. And I also realize that, there are times I've also kind of have become Judas after what God has done in my personal life. I think I will share a couple of my own painful journey and testimony of a detour that I've done. Two detours I will actually share with you, if it's okay with you, John.
Sure. But I also want to know, how did you get around it? Please tell me.
By the age of 17, after my high school, I felt very strongly, even though I gave my word to God and I said, I will serve you in full-time ministry, I said to God, but there was something at the back of my mind, God always knew about it, that I don't know, John, I really love ships. I love ships, I love ocean, and I love to become a sailor. I want to travel the world for free of charge. Mm-hmm. That's something I've always wanted to do. And I remembered after my high school studies, and God gave me some good grades, you know, by the grace of God, because I used to fail on all my subjects. And after God healing me from my autism and OCD, you know, Asperger's, he finally gives me good grades. Somewhere at the age of 17, there was a huge article in our local newspaper came out. They're saying the Singapore Navy wants a brand new sailors who can travel to Switzerland, Sweden, United States, all over, and we are trying to get brand new sailors. And I felt very strongly that I'm a decent candidate to go through. Mind you, though, John, I did not go to God. I did not ask God's permission. I decided to go in my own will. So my carnal man, my carnal nature takes over, kicks it in, and I decide to take over this place. And on that morning, early in the morning, I decided to do my, my quiet time. And you would know, John, that the Americans have been producing what they call a daily bread. And it's a small little daily bread.
Yes.
And I remember I've been following that since the age of 14. And on that morning, God speaks to me through the word, don't go to such a place because it's not going to yield any profit. I remembered telling myself, oh, God is trying to speak to me and he's telling me not to go for this interview. And guess what, John? As like a prodigal son, I decided to say, no, God is trying to say something else. I need to go for this interview. So I went for this interview, sat down with a captain. He interviews me and I smashed the interview. I get offered the job and this is a lifelong dream of mine I had. I think out of 400 people, 50 of them were selected. I was one of them, got selected. And then he shakes his hands with me. Congratulations, come inside in the debrief. And then we went into the room and they were debriefing us. And they said, you guys have been selected for Singapore Navy over here. And we just want to let you know, you guys are chosen to serve your country, chosen to this. And I was really, really happy, John. And right at this moment, John, Singapore is going through a recession and jobs are really, really, really scarce. And I felt very strongly this would be, this would put a real mark for me in my personal life. However, I was sitting down there, John. All of a sudden, I became deaf and I could not hear any further. And the colonel, I think it was a major or a colonel, he starts to speak even more and I can't hear. And all of a sudden, God says to me, how are you? I was rather shocked, John. I said, I could hear you, but I can't hear the major. I'm giving you 3 minutes to get out of this debrief office. If you don't get out, you don't want to know what's going to happen to your life. And so there was a major threat from Jesus himself. And so, as a reluctant child, stubborn child like I am, and really, being up himself, arrogant, I stood right up through 3 minutes. I think 2 minutes and 40 seconds. He says, Rich, are you going to get out or you're not going to get out? Because you're deafening. I made your ears deaf and it can get worse. And if I were you, I'd be very quick enough, smart enough, give yourself an excuse to get out. And then I will give your hearing aid back again. I remembered, I said, I better not go. I literally became like a Jonah. And so I told the major, I said, can I go to the loo? He said, yes, of course you can go to the loo. I came out of the debrief office, came out of the building, stood in front of the building, and all of a sudden, both of my ears popped. And he says to me, I do not want you to go back into the debrief room. You see the bus? I wanted to take one-way ticket of the bus and I wanted to return back home. Never, ever would you ever join Singapore Navy. I've called you into full-time ministry. So that was one priceless,
So God priceless. Seems to go to extreme measures to get your attention. My goodness.
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
Wow. Thank you, and God, so, you haven't done that to me.
So wow. can I say to your audience, John, I think...
Yes, sir.
Don't become like Rich Moraes, being stubborn, thinking himself, herself, I know everything and I'm not going to do. Because I made a pact. I said to God, God, give me 7 years, only 7 years. It's going to be a contractual agreement between myself and the Singapore Navy for 7 years. Give me 7 years to travel around the world, 7 years to enjoy being a sailor. After 7 years, God, I will come and serve God. Obviously, in heaven, he's decided, I do not want your 7 years. I want your years right now.
So, Dr. Reg, what advice can you give me about overcoming stubbornness?
Uh, I think, John, one of the things is I tell my sons, I've got a lot of spiritual sons and I've got a lot of spiritual daughters. One key thing I often say in my church, or when I disciple someone, I often say this: always be teachable, obedient, and submissive. Submission, obedience, and having a spirit of teachability. I think if you carry these three ingredients of your personal life, and I can guarantee you right now, you will avoid every single detour like the ones that I did, John.
Oh, thank you very much for that advice. Dr. Reg, what has happened in your life that showed you that Jesus is walking with you, but mm-hmm. you weren't aware of that until much later? Kind of like the Road to Emmaus story that this podcast is based around.
I would say I'm extremely blessed, John. So blessed that, a man who tried to commit suicide at a young age and then to go through all the above. And then Bible says to me in the book of Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. I think at an early age, God gave me that in my life to fence off bullies. And I think ever since, that joy has been in my heart since 1982. And that joy has given me all the way through in my life. Now, in hindsight, when I looked back and when I read that scripture, I realized all through the years, including the years when I tried to die, God gave me the ability to laugh and to laugh it off and to have a joy and to just keep on laughing. Now, when I look back, I realize, according to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, God somewhere along the line has been with me. And the one thing I can always say is it's the joy that God has given to me. And I felt all this while that joy represents the name Jesus. Bible says in the book of John, Jesus says, the world can't offer you the peace that they want, but I offer you a peace which will be with you for the rest of your life. And even though I never saw Jesus in my early years of my life, even though I would have not seen him face to face and all the above, but the joy of God, just to read the scripture, just to worship him, just to fall in love with him, just to know that you no longer have a fear, just to know that everything that comes in your hands today and all the blessings he's given to me, I realize the joy is, the joy that God's given to me, that's what represents that he has been with me all through of my personal life. And I think people should not lose the joy of God.
That's great. Dr. Reg, if you could talk to yourself in the past.
Yes.
Okay, and give yourself some advice. Where would you go and talk to yourself? Like, what's happening in that situation? Like, is there like a big decision that you need to make? You've kind of mentioned some of those already, but if you could go back into the past and talk to an earlier version of yourself, mm-hmm. What would you tell yourself? What advice would you give yourself?
One of the things that I've done in my early years is I surrounded myself with eight fathers of faith and eight mothers of faith. And they've been a constant presence in my personal life. And I'll always check with them. Am I in the right place? Am I in the right space? Am I doing the will of God? Am I pleasing God? Am I doing all the above? But if I were to go back into my past, what else could I've actually said to myself? I would say this, John. I think we are living in a world, everything is instant, John. You know that you can get instant coffee, you can get instant McDonald's, instant.
We're talking 12 hours ahead of, you're 12 hours in the future. I'm in the United States. We're so far away and we're instantaneously talking. Yes, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is I would say to your audience, nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens instantaneously. Everything in the kingdom of God, there is a season for it. Maybe perhaps if I go back into my past, I would say, hey, Rich, I just don't want you to get frustrated with yourself. I don't want you to get upset with yourself. If you were to wait a little bit more longer, God will come through for you. God will give you the best giftings for your life. God will allow you to walk in the pleasant places. Maybe perhaps, John, I think, those things were the things I would have spoken to myself, because we like to do things we want to get things done 3 days before. I'm one of those guys. I want to get things done. And some people, I remember my senior pastor, Pastor Neil Moore, once said to me, "Rich, are you all right?" I said, "Yes, I'm all right." I said, "Why do you ask me that question? I sometimes wonder whether you have got ADHD. Because the things that you do, I can't do. You're writing a book, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that." I said, "Dad, I don't think so. I have ADHD. I just say time is short. I want to take as many people in the kingdom of God as much as I can, because the kingdom of darkness is taking more people than the people in the kingdom of God. I want to smash the demonic powers." And but one of the things that Pastor Neil Moore often taught, he says, "Son, everything will happen in his time, in his season. Enjoy the day and enjoy the journey." And I think if I were to go back, say 15, 20 years down the track, I think I frustrated myself. I think I frustrated quite a number of loving people around myself. I've broken down and I've cried on many occasions why things are not moving fast, why things are not taking place. Maybe that was my weakness, John, I would say to you right now. So to your audience, I would say, you know, enjoy every single day. And I think as you enjoy every single day, there's a battle, but fight with, you know, fight in the battle and fight for what God has given to you. But at the same time, I think don't frustrate yourself. Don't criticize yourself. Don't put yourself down, which I did. But now in hindsight, looking back, I realized that God was sharpening me. God was molding me. God was knocking me. And God was trying to take, you know, God was trying to take the old man out of me. And I think when I look back, I realized God was doing a bigger job than what I thought. But in the process of it, I did do some disservice to myself, the ministry that God has given. Hmm.
Do you have a life verse?
I earlier on mentioned to you, this is my Bible. And right in front of the Bible, it's been imprinted, ingrained. And the one that I used it was Proverbs 17, verse 22. "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Even today, I have to tackle issues. I have to tackle with people. And the only way I disarm people when they are in a conflict, or when they are in conflict with their parents, with their spouses, with their children, with themselves, the only way you disarm any conflicts, I would say, for me, on a personal note and a personal revelation, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." It's been the guiding scripture ever since I've known of myself, since the age of 14. Right now, I'm 51. That has been my guiding light and a guiding principle, something that God gave me a revelation, and that has put me in a good step of faith where I am today, what God has done.
What is God teaching you right now? What is amazing you about God right now?
What amazes me of God? There's a lot of things, John, I would say to you, a lot of things. But I think, I don't know. I've been crying a lot, spontaneously. I mean, my wife says maybe I'm getting on in my age, but I have been crying a lot in the recent times. Maybe perhaps the miracles I'm watching, maybe perhaps the simple things that happens in my own personal life. To see some of my daughters are doing extremely well, to see some of my sons are doing extremely well, that moves my heart. I think I've come to an age where I think I've got all these children under, in my responsibility, and to see them, you know, climbing up in the ladder and getting promoted, I just see God's gracious hand over and over and over in people's life, and I just see His hand has been so precious, so priceless for me. Maybe even perhaps the dreams and the visions that I'm getting, you know, 1-2 days before something is about to take place about a person's life, God will speak to me in the middle of the night. One of the greatest shifts which has taken place in the last 2-3 years is, John, is every morning, not every morning, every second day or every third day, an angel of God will appear to me in my bedroom, say 2:30 or 3:00 or 3:30 or 5:00. You will say, today, this morning, there's a lady or there's a man who's going to be wearing a jumper and will come into your congregation, will sit, and his story, her story will be like this. and I've been sent by Master Jesus, and tell them this is what's going to be done. This is what's going to be done. And even over this CS conference, we had two, you know, a CS conference is primarily for born-again believers, born-again Christians. Mm-hmm. We had number of non-believers, even in this conference, non-believers gave their hearts to Jesus for the first time as well. And so I think when I stand in front of the congregation, when I see that person's outfit, and then all of a sudden God, the Holy Spirit will say to me, you saw this person in your bedroom this morning when I sent an angel. Now pick that person up, tell the person, and I'll tell everything, detail after detail information, what the angel have said that. So I think that has been incredible journey, because the last 2-3 years, I did inform you, John, and to your audience that, you know, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is fantastic. It's still operating. It's still functioning. But then when you see someone like the angels of God who actually spoke to Joseph 3 times, the father of Jesus, 3 different dreams, how Joseph was told to take Jesus from Israel into Jerusalem. So now God is taking me into a journey, a brand new journey of really being led by angelic ministry. So this is the latest journey that God has given. And I think that has made me to cry more. I think that has made me to explore more a ministry that I've never come across, a ministry that we all read through the Bible, but it's now becoming very tangible, very being really realistic, who they are, what they are, what they do. All they want to do is they want to be employed by you so they can be used, because they are right now, you know, they want to work under you, and they make your life that more easier for you to really get your ministry and your job description that much easier for you to handle people's life. And I think I'm in that journey right now, discovering God's angels. We are never meant to worship angels. We are only meant to worship God. And I just want to make that very clear. But it's interesting to know how God's angels work, operate, function. And so I'm in that zone, and I'm in that space right now. And I think I'm enjoying that journey.
That's fascinating. I think I might have to set up another time to talk with you about that. I got a couple short questions for you before we wrap up.
Yes, sir.
This one is really important for me. What advice would you give me on how to apply the revelation that God has given you?
The only thing I want to encourage you, John, is I think, you know, for you to live in that revelation is for you to walk in the revelation, for you to apply the revelation in practical terms, and for you to claim the revelation in advance. Basically, you're thanking God what God is about to do in 2 days' time, 3 days' time, or 3 years' time, 5 years down the track. And I think one of the things that I applied that I was told to do is when God comes and speaks to you, either face-to-face or through the word of God or through visions or dreams, mm-hmm. or either through a man or a woman of God. One of the things I just want to let you know, John, is I think you need to enjoy the revelation of God, what God has spoken. But most important of all, you need to just keep on thanking God in advance of the revelation that He's given to you. And you're claiming the inheritance of the revelation every single day, and walking into it and walking with it one day at a time. And I would say to you right now, whatever God has spoken in your destiny, that destiny will take place. That's because you are thanking Him in advance what God has already done for you. I think that will keep anyone in straight and the narrow path that God has given for you.
Yeah. Do you have any books that you would recommend for me? Any books that you would recommend that would bless my life?
Years ago, John, I was 16 years of age. I think one of the books which remarkably changed was Dr. David Yonggi Cho's book. He wrote a book called The Third Dimension. And then I believe he then wrote The Fourth Dimension. I remember very, very clearly those books were a great inspiration. And then you would also remember, you are an American, John, you would remember someone like a man called Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Hagin was a great inspiration for me. And I think he wrote a book called How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit. It was an old book. It was written, I believe, in 1983 or 1984. These two books, The Third Dimension and How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit by Brother Kenneth Hagin, had a huge, remarkable influence on my life. As I think I was about 17 years of age, 16, 17 years of age, And I remembered, you know, taking turn after turn reading between these two books, and these two men were giants, giants of God. I would say the generals of God. And mm-hmm. these two books actually had a profound impact on my life. Kenneth Hagin had a profound impact. Obviously, David Yonggi Cho had a profound impact because I gave my heart to Jesus through his ministry. But Kenneth Hagin was one of those men who, he was a great teacher, and he was able to unpack the supernatural, unpack the Holy Spirit, unpack the nine gifts, unpack all of the above. And these two men were guiding me all the way through, although they never knew about it. They never had a personal relationship. I don't have a personal relationship, but their book had a personal relationship, and that led me to have a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Wow. I'm definitely gonna have to look those up. Dr. Reg, somebody's listening to this and they want to know more about you.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that you've written a couple books.
Yes, sir.
You have the Seers Conference. Can you just tell us what's the best way to find out more about Dr. Reg Marais?
Right. I think if you want to know Reg Marais, then you can go through www.anointtheworld.com. And then there is also www.regmarais.com. You would see, John, with my entire life's history of how God healed me from all those mental disorders I had. And there's something like, I don't know, John, maybe 25, 30 books that over the years that I've written. There's a brand new book I've just written, was just released 2 days ago at the Seers Conference, The Unseen Realm Behind the Enemy Lines. The foreword was written by Dr. Steve Green, vice president of the Charisma Group. He was so gracious, and he was so gracious enough. He took, I think I would say, about a couple of weeks to read the entire book. And he read the book, he wrote a foreword, and he then wrote to me an email. He said he's now using that book as a daily devotion every single day. So I was moved by Dr. Steve Green on the latest book that he wrote. And all those books are available, John, on my website. They can get in touch with me. I also want to let you know, John, to all your audiences, we are coming in September, John, and I believe we have made, I think, an appointment with you with Cornerstone TV. And so I will be in Louisiana again. I will be in Dallas, Texas again. I believe I'll be in Houston and possibly also Austin, Texas. Maybe, maybe not. And so I will be there in the United States for 14 days, and that will happen in September 2019, this year.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in person again.
I can't wait again to come back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just spend time with you guys again.
Dr. Reg has some amazing stories of his encounters with God, and his story of being healed of autism is pretty incredible. I don't understand why it took 1 year for his healing to happen, but it's still amazing. I know that God's ways are higher than our ways, so there are things that we just don't understand, but that's still okay. God is sovereign, and he is good. Dr. Reg said that nothing happens overnight, and that is so true, especially when it comes to the call of God in our lives. There is a season for it, and we need to be patient. While we are being patient, let's try to enjoy every single day that God has given us. Don't frustrate ourselves in the waiting. I do that all the time. Have faith that the Word of God is true and will be true. Dr. Reg talked about his life being like Jonah at times, trying to do things his own way, like joining the Navy or going away from ministry and trying to get into business. God went to some extreme measures to get his attention and to keep him on the right path. I don't want God to need to be that extreme with me. I pray that I can stay teachable, obedient, and submissive. And that makes me think about my own life. What am I running from? How am I being stubborn and rebellious? He had some very practical advice to help stay on the right path. He said, surround yourself with fathers and mothers of the faith. And he said that he had eight guys. He said that he had eight men that he considers fathers of the faith for his own life. I have many people in my life that speak to me from their experience with the Lord, and it is vital for me as well. I encourage you to do the same. Find those people, identify them,
and establish a relationship with them that they can speak into your life and give you the last 10%. You know, the thing that most people don't want to say because they're afraid it'll offend you. Be teachable and be able to receive that last 10% from somebody, because that 10% is where there will be change in your life for the better. I need to keep Dr. Reg's verse in the forefront of my mind more often. That Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit tries the bones. My challenge is to find the joy of the Lord today and to be merry. Let's restore some achy bones today. Dr. Reg Marias mentioned a few books, a couple by Dr. David Jungi Cho and Kenneth Hagin, and I'll provide those links in the show notes. Also, I'm going to provide a link so you can watch Dr. Reg's interview on Real Life that he did with us a few months ago. Thank you for listening to Along the Way. If you've enjoyed joining me along my way, please rate and subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and at my website, alongtheway.media. You can also email me at johnalongtheway@gmail.com. If this podcast is making an impact in your life, please share it with a friend. That's one of the best ways to help this podcast grow, and I appreciate your help. I hope you've enjoyed this part of my journey, and may you realize when Jesus is walking with you along your way.